You're listening to The Course Creator Show, the podcast all about building your online course business. We talk about marketing strategy, making money, and creating a business with impact that gives you freedom and lights you up. I'm Gemma Bonham Carter, a Canadian mom of two, a speaker, a real estate investor, a reality TV lover, and an online business strategist who has helped thousands of entrepreneurs create, launch, and scale their digital course businesses. Let's dive into this episode. Hey, hey, welcome back to the Course Creator Show. It is your host, Gemma Bonham Carter here, and I have a special guest.
Hey guys, it's Mallory.
So excited. Mallory and I are actually sitting. Okay, you guys, this is a very not professional podcast setup. We are sitting on the floor of my laundry / overflow / guest room in my apartment in Aix-en-Provence. Mallory and her partner Josh have come here for a week of hanging out and traveling and prepping a brand new event that Mallory and I have going live on April 8th. If you haven't already snagged your tickets, I don't know what you're doing. Head on over to growthweeklive.com right now and snag your ticket. You can get a free ticket. You can upgrade to the All Access Pass. And it is called Personal Finance Unlocked. It is going to be a 5-day virtual summit type of event with 29 incredible speakers really talking about all things money. So talking about how to better manage your money, how to grow your money. We're getting into investments. We're getting into money mindset, CEO moves. We're really opening up the doors to have a very transparent and frank conversation with these experts. And so it's going to be great. And today we wanted to talk about something that's maybe a little, I don't know if it's controversial or it's just something that we've kind of noticed and have had those conversations between us about it and kind of thought it would be interesting to have this, bring this conversation to the podcast. And the topic is kind of this idea of burning it down. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this also, if you have been following along in the online world, but there have been a lot of entrepreneurs lately who have either burned their business completely down or they have descaled. They've gone from having really big teams, really big businesses back to what we might call a more lifestyle business. Or some of them have even opened up totally other businesses, like coffee shops and bookshops and other things, or gone back to other contract positions. And it's an interesting cycle that we've been watching. And I think one thing that you said, Mallory, earlier is being able to see it coming.
Mm-hmm. It's a really interesting thing because sometimes, there's these people on the internet where you're cheering them on, you're loving watching them grow these businesses, but there's this part in the back of my head where I just feel this countdown for them of ooh, you're going to hit a point, whether, we're going to get into some of the reasons it happens, but you can just see you're going to hit this point where you're going to have to majorly put on the brakes and it's not going to feel great. And it's really tough to be wanting these people to win. And, I'm talking more people that we're at a distance from, not a friend that I would reach out to, and just watching them grow this thing that is eventually probably going to explode a little bit.
Yeah. And I think what's also interesting is thinking of it this cycle, because I was saying to Mallory, okay, so I've been in this online business world now for 7-ish years. And you really I've seen this real turnover lately of these entrepreneurs who made it big and then did this, either burned it down, descaled, whatever. And I sort of was saying, I wonder if this happens every 7 years. Is this something that I just didn't realize was a thing the 7 years before, because that's only the amount of time that we've been in this world. So anyway, it's really interesting. And we wanted to have this conversation around, how can you build something that you don't have to burn down, right? How can you we're going to talk about three main strategies or main points of things that I think we're very consciously doing with our businesses so that we don't get to that position of wanting to walk away and or let it all go. Or this other idea of getting to a position where if you wanted to burn it all down and start over, in a more happily kind of way, you could, because you have that safety net built in terms of your personal finance situation. So anything else you want to Sam?
I'm just really excited to share some of the points because I think what we really share in common is that idea of like, if we wanted to, we could, but the way that we've built our business, I often think just helps you be so self-aware as a business owner so that it doesn't smack you in the face. Cause I know with my first business, it did, of just like almost waking up one morning and being like, what if we don't want to sell t-shirts for the rest of our life? And it wasn't something we had thought about. We were just running so fast that you don't stop to think like, where is this going? You just think bigger, 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 right? So building a second time around and a third for us with this new lens that I think you and I share has been like such a change.
Yeah. So let's get into it. Let's talk about these three main strategies or main points that Mallory and I think are really important in terms of doing things differently in your business. So the first one is really about staying aligned. So the thing with both Mallory and I is like, and I don't want to say this in a way that sounds like cocky or something, but if we wanted to, we could go and make a whole lot more money than we're currently making. Like, we understand what it takes and what that would look like and what those pathways are. But often we don't choose to do some of those things because we know that that would become like the fast path to hitting that moment of burnout or that moment of wanting to burn the business down.
Mm-hmm. I would compare it to like when I used to share my powerlifting lifts back in the day on Instagram. I always said like, if I just posted pictures of my butt, like I could have a million followers. Not that I'm saying my butt's that great.
I mean, it looks pretty good. It looks pretty good.
But it's just like, you know, you look at something like that when you're checking at different post performances, maybe you see something like that and you're like, well, this post outperformed the rest. So for some people, they run with that. But for me, it was always like, okay, but then I end up with an account that I never wanted. I end up with the audience I never wanted. And sometimes the business you never wanted, right? Yeah. So constantly making those choices of alignment. And like Josh and I always say, I think business is like a bait and switch of personal development of like, you think you're just going to make, you know, this thing that makes money. And instead you're going to learn like so much about yourself. Yeah. But I think that's a really important part because when you face those decisions, you get that gut check of like, what is the most important thing to me? Do I need to stay in my values? Like, how does that feel?
And I think like when we're talking about staying in alignment, it's also staying in alignment in terms of the products you're actually putting out there. So like, are you launching or creating a suite of offers or products or services that line up with your bandwidth and what you actually want, like your day-to-day life as the CEO of your business to look like? And that has been something I've learned definitely along the way of like, you know, I've just learned like, you know, certain things aren't really for me. Like right now at this point in my business, like doing one-on-one coaching or even a high-level mastermind, although those are the highest ticket things that I could be selling and I could sell them tomorrow and like that would shoot up my annual revenue, that's not in alignment for what I want in my life right now. Because I was actually saying this to Mallory earlier, like when I ran a mastermind last year, on paper, it might look like the deliverables were like pretty normal and pretty chill. But I was thinking about those 11 entrepreneurs and their businesses all year. And like the mental capacity of how much space that took up for me was big. And so just back to this idea of like being okay with not necessarily making the money that you theoretically could make, but staying in terms of like staying building the business that is going to allow you to live the way you want to live and making that decision that that is more important than the money.
Totally. Because I think the people who have, you know, maybe gone towards whatever's working with the algorithm or what's the best business model or the highest paying thing, they either feel not aligned, like they don't feel good about what they're putting out. They often lose their identity because they've just become this mix of everyone else that's on the internet.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they have loads of revenue, but the rest of their life is falling apart.
Yeah.
Or they've just put themselves in a position where they're working nonstop, but they've really lost sight on like that vision of why did I even start this? You're almost like, you know, you started it to be free, but now you're like an employee to a business you don't even like sometimes.
That's right. And that, I think that's such a good place to end on that first point of just like, so that was number one, like building your business that's actually aligned with what it is that you want to run for on a day-to-day basis. So the second thing that Mallory and I think are like, it's really important when it comes to this conversation is also being able to see your business as a piece of your personal finance, meaning like bringing your business into the conversation around your investing goals. And I think this really trickles down into a lot of the decisions you make as a CEO.
Mm-hmm. I think something for both of us is like, you know, being able to take that step back and saying like, what do we need in our personal finances to live the kind of life we want, and taking like the ego side of a business out of it, right? Neither of us feel like we need a fancy office space that we've rented, that we need to say we have a team of 20, right? All of these kind of things. And for us, I always think like the same way you might put money in like a TFSA or what's it in the States?
A Roth IRA.
I was like IRA, but there's a word before it. I think of it the same way in a sense, right? It's like, okay, a launch in my business is also a piece that goes towards this bigger puzzle. And I think keeping that tie to your personal finance is really important.
Yeah. And I actually think like on the flip side, sometimes too, like, I don't know if you've done one of these exercises where you write out what your like quote unquote dream life is and how much it actually would cost to have your dream life. And sometimes in those exercises, you're like, oh, it's actually not as expensive as like I thought it was going to be to have that dream life. And if I build my business to X and keep my profit margins in check, I don't actually need to have a seven-figure business or a multi-seven-figure business or something really insane in order to like meet the goals that I have.
Yeah, I'm such a big fan of pausing and asking ourselves like why constantly. I call it like the toddler test of just being like, okay, but why? Okay, what does that mean? Because I think sometimes we see like, maybe you say, oh, I want Gemma's life. And I see she's made a course business and she does this and that and that. And so you just go into default mode of trying to build the same thing or build it to the same size when you don't have a lot of the behind the scenes of why that person maybe needs it. Or I think often the dream life people want is like around the corner, but they've convinced themselves they can only have it if they have a seven-figure business or whatever that shiny thing is for them.
Yeah, exactly. Anything else you wanted to say on number two?
No, I think that's the biggest thing is for us, it's about keeping our profit margins in check and not building for the sake of building.
Yeah. Okay. So number three in this conversation is around, like we wrote this down as we avoid the identity trap and the pressure to keep going. Mm-hmm. You explain.
Yeah. Well, we were joking. It's like almost by just removing the pressure of not feeling like, okay, if you feel like you can't burn it all down, it makes you want to and it makes you hate what you're building. Whereas the fact that we don't feel that pressure that we can't stop tomorrow if we wanted to, because we've been so strategic of being like, okay, when we make profit, we're shoving, like I think of it as dumping into investments. We're making sure that money is going somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So technically, if either of us wanted to walk away tomorrow, I feel like we could, but we've also, you know, put the money into good places, but we built systems in our businesses so that we don't have to burn it down. We can step back in a lot of different ways. The same way you talked about, you could step back from one-on-one coaching, but your business can continue. You don't have to tell the whole internet, like, I'm gone, I need the break, because you have team, you have support, you have systems.
Yeah. And we've like built it with intentional design around the systems and the products and the team and all those things in the business, so that it's funny, like that really allows me to have a feeling of freedom, to feel like I could hit pause and go chill for 6 weeks and everything could keep running more or less. Like I will admit I have one call a month for Passive Project. Like there's like a couple things I'd either have to delegate that I don't usually delegate, but there's a lot that I could stop doing tomorrow for a chunk of time if I wanted to. And that really allows me to feel that freedom and not, as you were talking about at the beginning, like not feel trapped. And,
And I think like avoiding that identity trap of like, we know who we are. We know what the purpose of our business is for how we want to have impact, but also how it's going to impact us.
Yeah.
And I think then you also aren't so stuck. Like, again, my first business, it was like, we were two powerlifters that own this powerlifting business. So it made it really hard, the idea of like letting go of that identity. Whereas I feel like tomorrow you could be like, I own a coffee shop, and I'd be like, cool. Like it's still the same Gemma. It's still the same business person.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't feel like you don't know yourself anymore if you stopped this business tomorrow.
Yeah. And just going back to this idea of like bringing it back to the finances for a second, putting our finances into investments and being like strategic about that, I think that it gives us a sense of freedom. But I think Mallory and I are also both really cautious about the lifestyle creep. And this is something I think we'll talk about a little bit in our presentation for mm-hmm. Personal Finance Unlocked, but having that mentality of like putting into our personal sort of investments first, or personal finance investments first, gives you also like the freedom to like, you know, like spend without guilt and not, and yep. I don't know.
I feel like for me, it's like, if you can get your dopamine hit from investing,
totally,
you are going to be so happy with yourself in the future.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Because that's what really fires me up. And like you said, then if I go buy something, I know that I'm good first.
Yeah.
And that just makes so much of a difference. And I don't feel like we're trying to, you know, portray a certain lifestyle other than the one we actually
genuinely have.
Yeah. So I feel like that's a big part of it.
So let's bring this back to the beginning part of the conversation of just like, this idea of building a business that allows you to really feel like it's the vehicle for you to live the way you want to live instead mm-hmm. of like getting trapped by your business, and really thinking about that so that you never reach that point of burning it down. And you might be like sitting there and you're like in year one or year two of your mm-hmm. business, and all you feel is that like fire and passion. You're like, Mallory and Gemma, like, what are you even talking about? I'm never going to be sick of this. Like,
yeah.
I'm so fired up about building this business. Like, I can't even imagine getting to that point.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's so interesting, you guys, about this cycle that we've now watched all these entrepreneurs who built to seven figures and more, and then decide to scale it all back because it was taking over their lives. It didn't, like, I think for some people, they thought it would fix all the problems.
Yeah, I think we see a lot of people do like the spiritual awakening after, because they realize yeah. like, oh, I made the money. And it didn't fix everything.
Yeah.
I don't feel better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And also just like end up hating what they're doing every day.
Totally. Yeah. It's like you're back to being employed by a yeah. company you don't want to work for.
Yeah. So I think like that one of the takeaways here is like sit down with, I don't know whether that's an open journal or like whatever that looks like, and think about what your dream scenario is. Like, what does your dream day look like? What does your business have to look like in order for you to be doing the things that you really love every day? Like, I come back to this quite often, actually, of like, what are the activities I love doing in my business?
Mm.
Because sometimes we get focused on projects and priorities, and then we kind of shift away from the activities we actually enjoy, and we have to come back to those things and make them a priority again. So I think like having that conversation with yourself and making sure that what you are building is with the vision of where you want to go. So if you imagine yourself a year from now or 5 years from now, are you building toward that vision? Or by accident, are you building someone else's vision?
Totally. And I feel like if you're like, okay, I haven't really thought of my business through this personal finance lens, that's the best part, is with Personal Finance Unlocked, that's what we want to do, is give you guys like the resources and tools across so many of these topics, so you can start thinking differently. You can make some changes in your business. You can think about what investment paths do make sense for you.
Yeah. This event is really, like, I'm excited to listen to all the presentations on all 5 days. I feel like I'm just as much here for it as an attendee as like 100%. The co-host, right?
Oh yeah. I was reading the sessions to Josh and he was losing his mind. And then I'm like, yeah, there's a free ticket. And he was like, are you serious? And even the all access, he was like, oh my gosh, I would buy that three times over.
Yeah.
Like, instantly.
It's funny, like, you and I will talk about this more in other like presentations or in lead up to Personal Finance Unlocked, but I never learned like personal finance or investment stuff never really learned it from my parents, no one else in my family, mm-mm. from teachers at school. Like, this is just not something that we learn necessarily as we sort of grow into adulthood. And it's like, you have to kind of do it for yourself. Like, I can't tell you how many podcasts and books and articles and things that I've consumed now about personal finance and what a difference it's made and how much confidence I now feel because I understand things better.
Yeah.
And that's what I want for all of you. Like, no matter where you are, I think the other interesting thing about getting on a bit of a tangent here, guys, now about Personal Finance Unlocked, but one of the other interesting things we were saying is that this could be for you if you are a brand new business owner and totally. You're like, I just want to make sure that I, even though I'm maybe like not making the money I want to be making yet in my business, I know the plan. Like I have clarity mm-hmm. around where I'm going. And once I do start making money, I know that I'm going to be putting X amount of profit into these places and I'm going to be building up like a diversified portfolio and I have a sense of like where I'm headed in order to get that sort of like elusive, like financially free kind of.
100%. Yeah. I feel like every time I learn something about personal finance, it blows my mind and yeah. it changes how I approach things. And I think like you were saying, not growing up with it, I think a really beautiful piece of it too is being the one in your family to circle back.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm so much more protective of my parents' investments or financial advisors and things like that now. I'm like, tell me what's going on behind the scenes because now I feel like I have more information yeah. and can make sure the rest of my family is good.
Yeah. And then back to that idea of like who should attend this event. So I said like even if you're newer in business, this is for you. But even if you're seasoned in business, yes. if you are already at 7 figures a year, this is also for you because just because someone's at 7 figures a year or looks like they have some really established business, it does not necessarily mean that their personal finances are in order
yeah.
or that like there has been a clear path on how to leverage that business in order to grow the assets and like investments in terms of your personal life.
Yeah. And I feel like we've pulled in such an interesting mix of speakers. Like some of these people don't even talk about the topics that they're yeah. doing all the time. It's just the thing that they're really good at. And they're very much like behind the scenes people. So I'm really excited to dive into that stuff because I find I don't attend a lot of events because it might lean towards a one-on-one side. Yeah. So I'm like so excited that this won't be material that will go over people's head,
yeah.
but it will be still stuff that's super tangible, even if you do have your like 101 covered.
Yeah. All right. I think we should wrap it up on this one. Mm-hmm. There is going to be a part two episode coming out in a couple of days where we're going to be addressing some rapid fire Q&A, all things personal finance from Mallory and I. So make sure to tune into that episode and make sure to go grab your ticket, growthweeklive.com. You can get your free ticket for Personal Finance Unlocked. It's happening from April 8th to 12th. And if you want to have all presentations, have lifetime access to them, grab the All Access Pass. If you're listening to this before April 8th, that means it is still on the early bird price. So snatch it up while you can. We also have a VIP option that comes with a whole bunch of extra goodies. So if you want to go all in with us, that is the way to do it. And that's a wrap for this episode. Thanks for being here, Mal.
Thanks for having me.
That's a wrap on this episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're ready to launch your first course, sign up for our free class in the show notes to learn my method on how to do it successfully and unlock an invite into our signature program, Course Creator School. Or if you've already launched a course and you're ready to scale and go evergreen, it is time to join us inside of the Passive Project, my membership community for experienced course creators. Head to gemmabonhamcarter.com/apply to submit an application. If you enjoyed this episode, leave me a rating or review or tag me over on Instagram at gemma.bonhamcarter. I would love to hear from you. I'll see you next time on the Course Creator Show.